It is time for DC Current, presented by the Louisiana Association of Business and Industry. We bring you DC Current every Tuesday with Congressman Troy Carter and every Wednesday with Congressman Garrett Graves. And we've got a bonus guest for this installment, by the way, lobby.org, if you want to learn more about the Louisiana Association of Business and Industry. We've got a bonus guest this morning, Congressman from North Carolina, Representative Jeff Jackson. Congressman Graves, Congressman Jackson, welcome to Talk 107.3. How y'all doing?
Doing great. Thanks for having me. I'm here in Garrett's office, and it is the office of someone who has a little bit more seniority than I do.
Hey, Brian, good morning.
Good morning, Garrett. How are you, man? It's thank y'all both for joining me this morning. It's going to be a bit of a different conversation. Be ready, Congressman Jackson. I have Garrett on every week, so this is probably going to involve you a little more than him.
I'm ready.
Okay. I want to start off with rewinding the clock. Well before the pandemic, when everybody else realized how to use Facebook Live, Congressman Garrett Graves, you were utilizing Facebook Live for Facebook town hall meetings, getting real-time interaction from your constituency about issues that concern them, basically an open forum for conversation. Congressman Jackson, I found you on TikTok, and I got to tell you, I am darn right down. I'm smitten with your content. It has been absolutely amazing thus far. So, Congressman Graves, let's start with you and then move to Congressman Jackson. What was it about the social media outlets you've used that attracted you to them in the first place?
Well, the deal is that it takes hours to get from one side of our district to the other. Mm-hmm. And there's a real convenience factor. You know, folks can be on Facebook Live or other social media platforms. They can be at home. They can be in their pajamas. They can have their horse juice, or they can have their screwdriver, just kind of laying back. Nobody has to drive. It's much more convenient. And so it's all about accessing people for us and meeting people where they are. Thought it was a fantastic tool that really, I think, improved our ability to represent.
Congressman Jackson, you're taking a bit of a different approach. You're walking in on TikTok as an admitted newbie to the whole process. And the perception, at least as a viewer, is very, very vulnerable. What made you want to walk down this path?
Well, I started in the state legislature about 9 years ago, and I was real young. I was 31. I was this young, broke politician, and I had no other way to reach my constituents except through social media. And back then, this was 2014, mm-hmm. So it was just Facebook and Twitter. Yeah. That was the name of the game back then for the whole social media landscape. So I would post updates. And I would go back to the district, and people would say, hey, I really appreciate that. It was consistent feedback from constituents that they liked, as Garrett said, meeting them where they were and not asking them to sign up for a newsletter. So I decided to just make that part of my job, that I was going to use social media to keep people posted. But what happened was, over the years, I had to keep adding platforms.
Right.
So I had to add Instagram at a certain point, and then I had to add Reddit at a certain point because my constituents kept migrating and asking me to be on different places. And the hardest one to add was definitely TikTok, because video is just a lot harder to do well than Twitter. Twitter, all you got to do is write a punchy paragraph. That's not that hard. But yeah. Video, there are so many ways to fail. And I found every single one month after month after month. And there's just a big learning curve on video. But now that we're doing it okay and we're connecting with people, it's the number one comment I get when I go home. I've got 760,000 constituents, as we all do here. Several hundred thousand of them are on TikTok. It's remarkable the number of constituents you can reach there.
Is it a concern that the followers and people commenting may or may not be constituents, therefore you might be answering to somebody you don't actually represent?
Well, I don't really consider that a major problem. I mean, if you're excessively transparent with people outside of your district, that's probably for the good.
Let's talk about transparency. I'm glad you went there, because that's where I was going next. You posted a TikTok a couple weeks ago. It was actually the video that got me on the path to wanting to get you on the show. Talking about the theater of politics, talking about those who are overtly angry and putting on a show when the cameras are up and running. Have you caught in hell for that?
I did not catch hell for that at all. I was a little uncertain as to what the response would be, but here's the deal. When I came up here, I didn't know, and I had my assumptions about what percentage of people were serious and what percentage were basically on team outrage. And I thought it was one-third outrage and two-thirds serious. And I was totally wrong about that. It's less than 10% of the folks who are actually just up here to be on team outrage. And that was really encouraging, actually. The more people you get to know here one-on-one, the more serious people you'll meet, and that's in both parties. So what I had, actually, was a lot of feedback from a lot of the serious people here saying, thank you for telling people that a lot of us up here are very serious people, and it's not like they are led to believe through a lot of the media.
Okay, but a lot of the media has plenty, and I mean plenty, of content to run with to make sure that 24/7 on every news station possible and every website possible, there's enough anger and outrage to keep us fed as an electorate to where we're constantly mad at each other.
You're right.
How does that 10% or 10% or less than 10% fill up that much of the media?
You could not have put that better. We are just filled to the gills with this manufactured outrage. It's interesting to come up here and to realize that I am, even a new person, surrounded by negative incentives. There are all kinds of rewards here for bad behavior. The big one being, I get to reach more people if I behave badly. There are a bunch of people up here who can't stand the idea of just working and not having people see them and know who they are every single week and being reminded of their existence. And the way they solve that problem is by indulging in all of this manufactured outrage. It's just this web of negative incentives in which we find ourselves. And the people with the lowest character are the ones who can't resist those negative incentives.
Are you worried that there will be repercussions long term of walking this path?
No, I think the repercussions are going to be to align myself firmly with serious people, and I love those kinds of repercussions.
We played the full video, the full TikTok. TikTok is limited in time, so I don't know if there's a longer video via YouTube or whatever. But we played the video about 20 minutes ago as I was teasing that this segment was coming up. I couldn't help but notice you don't call people out by name here.
No, I don't, and I think that would defeat the purpose. If I were to call people, first of all, I think a lot of y'all know who I'm talking about. All right, just going out on a limb here. Yeah. I think a lot of you do. Second, it would defeat the purpose because then it would become about me singling people out and not me talking about the incentives. What I wanted to do was not educate the electorate as to who the extremists are, because we know. I wanted to educate the electorate about the reason behind the behavior, the infrastructure of incentives that exists here. That's what people don't know about. They know who the extremists are.
There's a great Southern phrase. It's the kick dog that hollers. So you say we know who the guilty parties are. I would be willing to wager that if you're on the right, you have one perception of who the guilty parties are. And if you're on the 100%. Left, you have a completely separate perception of who the guilty parties are.
Right. 100%. Sure.
Congressman Graves, when are you getting on TikTok?
I can't answer that. The answer is never. Not sure if you've seen any recent headlines. This has become somewhat of a politicized social media platform as of late.
I mean,
Brian, look, first, I do want to go back and what Jeff was talking about.
Go for it.
I love it that you know, he's come in and just immediately recognized exactly what's going on here. There's a perverse incentive system here. And it's not just media likes. It's not just attention on the TV and newspaper. It's campaign contributions. It's everything. And it is a perverted or distorted reward mechanism in that what people are rewarded for is the provocative or bombastic things. It's not for actually delivering results. And I'm certain that Jeff feels like that he was elected to represent people to actually move the ball forward to solve problems, not sent here to get headlines or one-liners. And I think that there's real confusion in terms of why we're actually here and what our job is. But I couldn't have said it better. He nailed it in regard to what the actual problem is.
Is there a way to break the cycle? And who is it up to break the cycle? Is it up to those who give us the sound bites and the negative headlines? Is it up to those of us who feed off of it as if Emperor Palpatine is behind us saying, good, let the hate flow through you? Like, who is it up to break this cycle?
I'll give you my quick 2 cents, and I'm curious what Jeff thinks. But one, let's think about where the reward mechanism is occurring. And in many cases, you have the news outlets, you have the TV, you have the newspapers and others that are rewarding it. And then the other is, and this is where I get especially disturbed, is it's the citizens, because they're the ones that are actually losing out on getting better service, better performance out of their own government. And so it's our citizens are the ones at the end of the day that I think are really the losers here because they're getting folks who are being rewarded for things that aren't helping the community.
I think it's easy to be pessimistic about this situation, but honestly, I feel differently about it. Just based on the reaction for this video and some of the things that Garrett's talking about, I don't think this message would be getting as much traction if the country weren't ready to sort of break this cycle, as you said, which I think was an excellent way to phrase it, because it really is a cycle. I wouldn't be on with you right now, and people wouldn't be sharing this message if they didn't feel like they had just been fed this cotton candy of outrage for years and years and years. And you know what? We're actually ready for a different diet now. We recognize this has been a really unhealthy approach to talking about politics and how we want to live together. And there is a healthier approach. My job, Garrett's job, at least part of it, is to model that approach and make sure that other elected officials see, hey, you can actually approach this in a different way. Your communications game doesn't have to be how can we infuriate people every single day.
The politician receives more donations. The voter or the electorate receives, if not information, at least they receive self-righteous indignation. And the news media receives more viewers, more clicks, more quarter hours, and better ratings. I think we're all pretty well entrenched here. It's just I'm hard-pressed not to be cynical about it.
I think you should be skeptical about it. But I think you should watch the line between skepticism and cynicism. Cynicism is where you give up. Maintain your skepticism of me, of Garrett, of everybody up here. But the thing about skepticism is it does leave room for hope. It does leave room for working with other people to try and push things in a good direction. I mean, the fever is going to break. I don't know exactly how or exactly when, but it will.
Can't be skeptical of Garrity Feeds when he comes in studio. So it's a, you know. Hey, we got a little business to talk here before we get out. Let's talk NASCAR. You guys are teaming up for something cool.
75th season. Yeah, commemorative coin. It's important to my district. It's important to his district. He asked me to be a part of it, and I was very grateful.
Brian, you know, as you know, we love finding some of these areas of bipartisan cooperation. And in some cases, even if it's low-hanging fruit, just it gives you an opportunity to establish relationships, start understanding people a little bit better, working with them, and then finding other areas of cooperation. And there are a number of people that over the last few years that we've been able to work with and actually get things done, get bills signed into law. And so this is one of those low-hanging fruit items. NASCAR is one of the most viewed sports in America. Look, North Carolina's got a storied history of NASCAR, and Louisiana has a lot of people who like to drive fast. So it works perfectly.
That's a meeting of the minds right there.
So we've got the Charlotte Motor Speedway. I understand why Jeff Jackson's in on this. Congressman, a few years ago, there was a push to possibly build a NASCAR track somewhere here in Louisiana. You looking at reinvigorating that conversation?
I would love to do it. Yes. Yeah, so there was a race in Louisiana decades ago up in Shreveport area. But as you know, we do have a number of tracks in the state, not NASCAR, but a number of racing tracks in the state. But the thing that's been remarkable to me is the number of fans that we have.
Yeah.
People just coming out of the woodwork whenever we're at different events, especially at some of the race events in Louisiana. I think you may know that Clay Schexenter, our Speaker of the House, is a big race car driver. And then I'm going to let a cat out of the bag here. Somebody that you would never expect is Regina Barrow, state senator, is an absolute hotfoot and incredible racer. And so it really is. It's like this little secret group of folks that are out there that are these avid race fans.
Oh, my goodness, the fast and the legislative. I can't wait to open this can of worms.
Really? All right, so look, this is between us. You can't tell anybody. But, Regina Barrow is one of the fastest racers in the legislature. You need to pop the question on her.
Well, based off of my ratings, your secret is safe. And, yes, based off of the French Quarter, I have no doubt that since NASCAR spawned off of Prohibition, Louisiana played a big role in its formation to begin with. In the meanwhile, we're just straight up out of time. Congressman Graves, Congressman Jackson, thank y'all so much for a couple of minutes. Fantastic segment today. Thank y'all.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brian. Y'all have a good one.
We'll talk to you next week.